So how did power mess with them, as I went into the book thinking? If you set aside the all but guaranteed and omnipresent agent provocateurs, some in uniform, some not, inciting violence at public events, and the probably unprovable but equally certain Iagos whispering in their ears or providing drugs. And, of course, the inevitable right-wing media attacks intended to prejudice the broader populace against them, which matters, by the way. We have to discuss that. And use them as a tool for stimulating fear of quote-unquote radical youth. Well, on the surface, power seems to have messed with them by granting them a healthy recording contract, which tells us what? In terms of that challenging double question the book raises, how to end the system while being part of the system, and what exactly is the system anyway? In some sense, my work of recent years has all been devoted to that question, and we can't delve deep enough to the level it deserves in these brief minutes. But suffice to say, Epic Records or Sony had zero concern about them actually ending the system. But ending the system was never framed as the end. And how could it be, with the guidance they were given, borne up by centuries of conventional wisdom, centuries of pundits containing us? Establishing the legitimate limits of thought, because we all want to be smart, right? But I also think there's another way that power messed with not just them, but all of us, or rather used them to mess with all of us. Because power learns from movements. It is a learning bot that also steals, raids the people's creativity, and uses what we've made to grow stronger, to their minds, hopefully inoculate them from us for next time, i.e., they plan. When will we do the same? As determinedly focus as they do on our goal, on what we want, because once we do, we'll get it. Watching rage move, how loose they were, reminded me of many of the inauthentic youth I met while hawking books. So it didn't surprise me to read, and that's not the only thing. You know, I'm thinking also of Venezuela right now. There's lots of clues. So it didn't surprise me to read how right-wing and fascist movements have adopted their music as their own. They write about how they've been playing their music in fascist movements, you know, in Britain. Paul Ryan in the U.S. used their music. It was used by the jailers in Guantanamo. There's a whole string of them on the right that have been using their music. You see, they study mass movements for tips on how to strengthen their totalitarian one. Ongoing, always, though subterranean. Until they have that firm hold on the U.S. government, what they've been seeking for decades. I suspect they've learned to use the music for their own ends rather than fight it. Remember, always temper the ideal with the possible. Their ends being to tempt as many youth as they can into totalitarianism, dressed up as being shepherds to gather up the sheep, patriotically, of course, and herd them to the den to teach them to want to be just like them, the wise philosopher statesman. If we start naming these aggressive, very intentional techniques and infiltration practices of power, then we can start to do something about them. But most importantly, whether you believe power engages with youth to this degree or not, the pressure of converging crises weighing on our humble earth must surely help us see that we must offer youth another way to be, another kind of society, an alternative. If hope is to live among us, then We must start consciously creating that opposite with them, with our children and youth, as they will be living it when we're gone. On March 15th, I heard a Syrian activist living in exile, a man whose wife and younger brother had been kidnapped by, in at least one instance, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. He was asked what he was feeling, and he said, "I'm angry, and I'm trying to express this anger in a creative way and help our people find some hope for the future," unquote. That is key. Miklo said the same. In the name of the state, in the name of religion, in the name of Plato's tribe, in the name of those who call themselves the wise, these killings are done. Killing in the name of. And he's right. Miklos has shown us this. We need a realistic sense of hope, we the global people. That is the priority beyond all else, and certainly beyond anger. Love be now our song, immortal ones, a song of understanding, a song of hope, and most of all, a song of determination. For when we see our earth herself is calling, there is no greater love than with raised hands and voices answer her command. Love, be now our song, immortal ones.